Amen. Amen. Can we give the Lord praise this morning? I can't clap, but I can hit my knee. That's all right. What a blessing this morning to be in the house of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I can tell you that it's a blessing for me to be here, even if it's one-handed. It is a blessing to be here. Psalm 119, if you want to find that today, Psalm 119, go ahead and find that. I'll teach you a little something that somebody taught me one time. Just split your Bible in half and you'll be really close. So whatever Bible you have, just split it in half, and I promise you'll end up somewhere around Psalm 118, Psalm 119, and find verse 105, all right? Psalm 119, verse 105. While you're finding that, the title of the message today is We Will Be Faithful. We will be faithful. Speaking of that, I want to thank everybody for your faithfulness to just spoiling your pastor. I'm milking this thing for everything it's worth. I probably gained 30 pounds by the food that just keeps pouring into our house to the point where I'm like, stop bringing the food, but really don't, because it's really good. I mean, it's just been crazy to the point where, like, even when I'm not home, my kids are coming up. They're like, man, I don't even know who somebody was, but they brought food by today, you know? And I'm like, well, who was it? Because I want to thank them. And so it's just been overwhelming. And I told somebody else, I got so many text messages. In the grand scheme of surgeries, this isn't a big deal, but I got so many people that I feel like there were so many people praying for me that I feel like God was like, look, I got it. Like, give me a break. Like, people were just praying for me nonstop. And so what a blessing. I think it was C.S. Lewis or one of those like theologians that said the best blessing or the best gift that you can ever give to a friend is to pray for him. And so I appreciate that. Before we get started, I also want to thank Pastor Will. I want to thank Danny Reed for filling in my absence and going above and beyond. Great testimonies, great message. What a blessing. Amen. So can we just give the Lord praise for what he's doing? So this is not a Mother's Day message, technically, but absolutely can be applied to a mother, it can be applied to a father, because it's the Word of God. And so we know it's a double-edged sword. It wants to impact you today. So apply it to where you need to apply it to. Mothers, there's nothing wrong for a mother to say, or somebody who wants to be a mother, or somebody whose children have gone on and they're grown up and you're dealing with the empty nest, whatever, to say, you know what? No matter what phase I'm in, I will be faithful. And that can just apply to any of us. So just a few facts about Psalm 19 that I learned this week. I knew this part. It's the longest chapter in the Bible with 176 verses. I hope I wrote that down right. All right, the purpose of this psalm is to celebrate God's word. I have had more time in the last 2 weeks just to sit in my little zero gravity chair under my shade tree in the front yard and just fall in love with God's word and just have time. I didn't have anywhere to be. I couldn't go anywhere. Doctor said I can't drive. And just to sit and read commentary, to pray, to just put on worship music and just watch the birds fly around. And I've watched, and this might sound simple and dumb, but I've watched the birds sit on the power line in front of my house and go down and get a worm and get up and eat it, just like Jesus said that they would do. He said, look, I feed them. They don't have to store away in a barn. They don't have to do anything. And he said, and don't I love you more than the birds? Why are we going to worry about anything this morning? Celebrating God's word. That's the purpose of this psalm. Psalm 119 is made up of 22 stanzas, one for each letter in the Hebrew alphabet. In fact, some people believe and still celebrate that this psalm was, and they say that David was teaching his son Solomon the Hebrew alphabet when he wrote this, but he also wanted to and put some spiritual truth in with his education. And I love that. That's the way our country is supposed to be and the way that we should educate our children. So I love that. But I would encourage you to go back in this week and we can't preach through 176 verses, okay? We're not going to do that today, so take a deep breath, okay? We're just going to bite off a few of them. But I would encourage you to go read Psalm 119. We will be faithful. I had to recite that this week as I was trying to prepare and get. I was looking forward to getting back into preaching, but I'm telling you, I'm left-handed. And so I couldn't make notes. I couldn't do anything. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to write my outline. I am going to write my outline, and I'm going to make myself do it right-handed. So I just want to show you the struggle that I had this week. I think we have a picture of it, all right? So if the message is not great today, just remember, This is where it started, okay? All right, so just bear with me today, okay? But it's just weird being one-handed. You don't realize how much you need your hands. So, but seriously, I read a quote this week, and we're going to get into it. I read a quote this week, and it said, "The greatest ability is dependability." All right, so let that sink in for a minute. The greatest ability that you can have, that I can have, is to be dependable. Okay, so this especially applies to a believer's life, and I believe that. I got my little shelf here. I set my Bible on. Set my coffee on there too. But let's think about that for a second. We expect God to be faithful to us, right? He has been faithful to us. In fact, the Bible tells us that even when we're not faithful to Him, He still provides the sun and the rain and all the things that we need. So God is faithful to us, and we'll pray to Him and say, "God, be faithful to me. Oh God, bless me for 1,000 generations," and all those things. But do we really believe that, first of all? And if we do believe that, do we think it's too much for God to expect us to be faithful to Him? If we want Him to be faithful to us, we have to turn around and say, "Okay, God, it's not too much for You to expect for me to be faithful to You." All right, Romans 10, verse 17 says this. It says, "So faith comes from hearing." If you're here today, are you hearing? Are you going to listen? Are you here with an ear that's ready to listen? So faith comes from hearing. And it says, hearing the good news about Christ. You see, once I hear the word of God, if you've been at Fork Union Baptist Church or any other church that teaches the word, if you were raised by a mother who taught the word of God and taught you the lessons in the Bible and all those things, you have heard the word of God. You've heard the good news that God sent His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him will be saved and will not perish, but live for how long? They'll have eternal life. Why would we need anything else to motivate us to be faithful to God and to be obedient to His word and to fall in love with God and to give our life to Him, not just one part of it, not just one day of it, but every part of our life to say, "I'm going to be faithful to God." Amen. In every single area of our life. That's all the motivation that we need, because He's already been faithful to us. After all, real faith is shown in a believer's life when they are faithful. All right, let that sink in for just a moment. I'll say that again. Real faith is shown by faithfulness. There's a reason why faithfulness, "Great is thy faithfulness." I think y'all sang that last week. God is faithful to us. And if we want to show our faith, what did He tell Abraham? Remember when early in the Bible, go back to Genesis, I think it's chapter 15. He says what? He says, "So Abraham was found to be righteous because of his faith, because he believed." All right, so you go back to John 3:16 and you say, yeah, everybody who believes in Jesus will be saved. But what does that belief mean? What does that belief mean? It's shown by your faithfulness to God. If you really believe in something, you're going to be faithful to it. So that's where my heart is this morning. In this text today, we see four main things and four main areas. Y'all might have been able to read them, so I'll tell you again. To strive for in a believer's life. And this is something I studied. I pulled out this week of this passage, and I just cannot wait to get into it and preach it. Number one is this. God expects us to have faithful feet. Go where He tells you to go. Do what He tells you to do. Stay away where He tells you not to be. Number two, He wants you to have faithful words, to be faithful with your words. Number three, faithful memory. We'll talk about that. And number four, a faithful heart. Now, number four is not the least of these, because it's last. In fact, I would say it's got to start at number four with God having a faithful heart. So let's read Psalm 19, verses 1 through 12, once I get my Bible open here. It says this, very familiar verse right here, but we're going to go beyond it. "Your word is a lamp to guide my feet, and a light for my path. I've promised it once, and I'll promise it again. I will obey your righteous regulations. I have suffered much, O Lord. Restore my life again, as you promised. Lord, accept my offering of praise and teach me your regulations. My life constantly hangs in the balance, but I will not stop obeying your instructions. The wicked have set their traps for me, but I will not turn from your commandments. Your laws are my treasure." Do you see God's Scripture? Do you see God's word as a treasure this morning? They are my heart's delight. I am determined to keep your decrees to the very end. Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning. And Lord, just like I always like to pray after reading your word, and I don't want to get caught in the motion today. I just want to thank you for your word. And I want to commit myself to your word again today. And I hope that everybody here today will. Lord, if there's somebody here today that has never felt and never made the decision to commit their life and give their life to Jesus Christ, Lord, that's an easy part. We can take care of that today, and you can take care of that today. Lord, I pray that you would start cultivating our hearts, that we would receive the seed, that we would find good soil this morning to be planted in what you want to start in our life, or maybe what you want to water this morning, maybe what you want to grow, that you would work in our lives, and that you would give us encouragement, you would challenge us, you would convict us, whatever it is that we need to hear, not from me, but from you this morning, that we would be obedient, and that we would be made righteous by our faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I got my scripture in my notes here, so I don't have to try to, y'all don't have to watch me struggle up here. Even though it might work better, I'll get more sympathy, but we're not going to do that today. So before we get into this message, I've got two questions for you. Straight up, no filter, no exemptions, no biases. I'm not pointing a finger at anybody. I'm asking us all, I'm asking myself, do you read the Bible? Do you read the Bible? Do you set aside time and make it a priority in life to read the Word of God? Let that question answer, you answer it yourself for you. And number two is this, are you faithful to do what God says to do? To His Word. When you read His Word, we say, well, how do I know what God's telling me to do? You get into His Word. So you can't know what God's wanting you to do. So if you do read your Bible, are you faithful to apply it to every area of your life and to really let God work in your life? See, I have to ask that question this morning because before we get into the actual message, because if we're not even willing to read God's word and we don't consider it a treasure and we don't take the time to get into what God says, we won't know what to be faithful to. We won't know who to be faithful to and what areas we're supposed to change, what areas we're doing right, what areas we need encouragement. We won't know. If we're not willing to pick up the lamp and let God fill it with oil, how are we ever going to have light? How are we ever going to know what path to take in our life? So look with me at verse 105. We're going to talk about that one. Very familiar verse. It says, the word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. Here's the first area of faithfulness that should be seen in a believer's life. It's faithful feet. It talks about it right there. Here in this one verse, we see two illustrations in the Bible that are combined and they come together, right? Number one is this. Life in the Bible is talked about as being a path. Being a path. You are on a journey. You're on a path, all right? Psalm 119, verse 35, if you go back several, you know, verses in the same chapter we're in today, it says, make me walk the path of your commands, for that is where my happiness is found. People say, oh, well, seek, you know, whatever makes your heart happy, whatever. No, the word tells us, it says, walking in the path of God's commands is where true happiness is found. And the second thing is this. The Bible tells us, and this is just one verse. There's many verses that talk about that God's word and God's light is a path. All right? But also it says this, number two, God's word is a light. Second Peter, this is just one verse of many. It says this, 119 says this in Second Peter. Because of that experience, we have even greater confidence in the message proclaimed by the prophets. You must pay close attention to what they wrote. There's the word of God right there. To what they wrote. For their words are like a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and Christ, the morning star, shines in your hearts. It all has to start with faith comes from hearing the word of God. God is shining a light into someone's heart today, not because of me, but because of God's word being proclaimed this morning. His truth, His eternal truth. So many people, church, sadly, even many names that are on church rosters, especially here in America, look at God's word as something to use only when it suits them or when they need something. Right? When I need a genie in the bottle, let me go get my Bible out or let me go get my phone and Google encouraging verses that will encourage me. Nothing wrong with that. But if that's the only time you're seeking God's word, that's why you're probably in the low place that you're in. Or maybe reading God's word is a burden and you feel like I don't want to read the Bible. It's just a pain. I don't understand it. We'll use all kinds of excuses, right? But if you don't ever get into it, you're never going to understand it. You got to start somewhere. Paul talked about it. A baby starts off drinking milk, right? My youngest Lily asked me, she said, when can I get up and lead worship? And where can I do this? And I said, and I had that lesson with her. I said, you're drinking milk right now. But one day, God will have you eating steak and baked potato. Hallelujah. I had one of those Friday night. And you know what? That's what we're supposed to do. It's not a burden. You got to start somewhere. And instead of walking this path with no direction, this life, walking through with no direction, no peace, no real fulfillment, and understanding why God created you, why God put you here in this place and time, no real purpose in life, we'll toil and toil in the darkness. And then when things start to fall apart in our life and we find ourselves drifting around with no peace and no confidence, drifting around, maybe just lost, we go back to God and we say, God, why would God do, if God really loved me, why would he do this to me? Or why would he allow this to happen to me? When all along he gave us the instructions that we need. He gave us the light for our path. You see, in these ancient days, there was no GPS. All right, y'all probably knew that. But sometimes you've got to remember this. There was no LED 1200 lumen flashlights. There was no headlamps. There was nothing. There wasn't even a Coleman propane lantern, okay, that lights up a whole campground. They didn't have any of that. There was no cars with headlights. The headlights on my wife's 2021 Honda Pilot are so bright that people flash us even when we already have the lights on dim. We've come a long ways with that. It's getting to the point where it's too bright. But they didn't have any of that. The people walked these little pathways everywhere they went. And all they had for a light was this little clay dish that was filled with oil and this little flickering flame. That's all they had. And they had to depend on it. And this was the only light they had to illuminate their path in the darkness. I read a commentary this week, and I never really thought about it this way, but it said actually the people, they traveled those paths so much, there was a path there because they traveled it so much. So they knew the path. They knew the direction they were going, or they should go. But see, they didn't have rest areas on the interstate. They would have these sewer pits along the way that when people were traveling those roads, if Mother Nature called, they had a place to take care of their business. Okay? And so these places, they didn't want to stumble into that in the dark. Does anybody want to stumble into a sewer pit? And so they made sure they had that light to keep them from falling into the sewer gutter while they were on their journey. I believe David knew this. And I believe he knew that without God's light, without God's commandments, without God's word, he would end up in a stinky mess. And there was times in his life where he did. Now, something to note. This kind of light that David is referring to is the only illumination, the path, it only illuminate like one little step at a time, right? We had talked about it. There was no flashlight we could see was up ahead. He had to totally depend on it every step of the way. Church, if you are a believer, if you are alive and breathing today, and if you aren't trusting God's word for every single step of your life, wherever you are, I don't care how big or how small the step is, if you're not leaning on God's word for that, you are in danger of falling in the sewer, because it's the only truth we have. They couldn't see right in front. They could only see just right in front of them, not way out in front of them. And I believe this is how we are to walk as believers. I know we are. We're to depend on God's word, and we walk by real faith, trusting him to guide us along the right path, not that we want, but that he wants us to be on. But when we know the Bible talks about it, God's word tells us that when we walk in the ways of the world, we're walking in darkness. And I believe that's what David was trying to tell us. But when we're living according to God's word and his truth, we're living in the light. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through 7 says this. This is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. So we are lying if we say that we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Church, we are called to be faithful with our feet. Faithful on the path that God wants us to be on. We can't do that if we're not reading and spending time studying His Word. Faithful feet to go where God's Word tells us to go, where His light shines for the direction He goes. Now, we have to understand, this could be the direction that we should not go. His light is going to shine sometimes, and it's going to shine around your feet and show you where you are. And you're going to say, ooh, this ain't good. And He does that so He can get you out of that place and get you right back on the path. Let's look at verses 106 through 108. So we know we're supposed to have faithful feet. Let's read and see what David says next. He says, I've promised it once, and I'll promise it again. I will obey your righteous regulations. I have suffered much, O Lord. Now you go back and read. I've been reading through 1 and 2 Samuel. You go back and read all the things that David went through. Puts it in context. You think you got it bad. He suffered much, O Lord, he said. Restore my life again as you promised. Lord, accept my offering of praise and teach me your regulations. Here's the second thing that us as believers need to be faithful, maybe the area we need to be faithful in. We have need to have faithful words. It's not too much for God to expect you to be faithful with your words. In these three verses that we just read, there's actually three areas that I believe that jumped out at me that we're be faithful with our words. Number one is this. I think about all the times that I have made vows to the Lord and not kept them. Right? How many times do we call upon the Lord to get us out of the mess that we've created, to get us out of the sewer that we've stumbled into because we weren't living according to His word? Oh God, if you get me out of this mess, I'll never do it again. Right? How many people remember back in school, you didn't study all week and the test comes, all of a sudden you want God to give you the answers. Oh God, if you just give me the answers to this, I'll commit my life to you. That's how I made it through high school. I'll never disobey you again, God, if you just get me out of this. But before we know it, we find ourselves right back into the darkness, stumbling around in the darkness, back in the right place where we were. You see, making these empty vows to God over and over and over again will never lead you to the best Christian life that God has for you. It won't do it if you're not true and faithful with your words. It's because we're weak in the flesh. We're weak in the flesh. Your pastor is weak in the flesh. And the more that I try to keep my vows on my own strength to God and to you and to everybody else, the more that I'm going to fail. And that's just the truth. And the more that I fail, the more that you fail to keep in your vows, the more you open up the door for the enemy to come in and say, see, God doesn't love you. You're not a Christian. If you were a real Christian, you would have kept your vows. And he uses that. The Apostle Paul understood this. Romans chapter 7, verse 14, it says this. So the trouble is not with the law. This is the Apostle Paul talking. He says, for it is spiritual and good. The trouble is with me, for I am all too human, a slave to sin. A little side note here before we go on. If you're struggling with a certain sin, and no matter how hard you try, you find yourself back in it, go read Romans 7 and be encouraged, because the Apostle Paul, that wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, and planted churches and went on many missionary journeys and died for the sake of the gospel, struggled with sin. But if you read the end of it, he says, but thank God the answer is Jesus Christ. Amen? Christians, we are called to be faithful with their words. If I tell the Lord, or if I tell you, or you tell me to do something, or that I'm going to do something, we need to keep our word. Jesus said this, Matthew chapter 5, verse 37. He said, just say a simple yes. I love that. What did Moses say when God called him? He said, Moses, Moses, the bush is burning. He says, yes, Lord, I'm here. That's all he wants. Yes, I will. I think it's Isaiah that said, here I am, send me. Here I am. That's all he wants from you. Or no, I won't. He goes on to say, anything beyond this is from the evil one. If you go back and you read verses 34 and 35 and 36 of Matthew chapter 5, he says, don't make vows and don't say I swear on this and I swear on that. He said, just say yes, I'll do it. That goes to people and that goes to the Lord. Second thing that we see in these two verses, these three verses is this. How about when we pray? Church, I can't tell you how many times that I've lied to God in my prayers. You're like, my pastor just say that? Yeah, I did. I've prayed before, and I've even recited the Lord's Prayer, and I've said, God, let your will be done. When I know my motives are not pure, when I know I'm praying something selfishly or whatever it is, I've asked God for His will to be done, knowing that mine was going to be done. Now, come on, somebody. Anybody else struggle with that when they pray? Yeah. Oh, Lord, if it's your will, Lord, give me that new truck. God bless it. Bless those payments and that interest rate. We'll convince ourselves anything is God's will. I've been wanting a motorcycle here again lately. I'll be like this, you know. I don't know where Mikey's at. He had a little wreck on his scooter. Praise God, he's all right. And I've praised the Lord for that. That's right. But anyways, how many times do we pray with the wrong motives? And we, all, church, we have to surrender to the power of the Holy Spirit. We have to come before God and we have to allow Him to really work in us and reveal to us, is this my will or is this God's will? Right? It's just, we have to surrender to the power of the Holy Spirit, because to talk to God without obeying Him, to talk to God and to ask Him to pray with Him and to say, I'm going to be faithful to Him and say, God, your will be done, not mine. And we're not willing to obey that. And we're just praying. What it does is it brings that word hypocrisy into our relationship with God. And I don't know if you look back through where Jesus was God in man form, right? God hates hypocrisy. He wants you to be real. He already knows your heart. He already knows what you need. He already knows what you struggle with. Why are you going to try to act like you're something that you're not? What He really wants from you, what He really wants from me is to say, God, I'm a pastor. God, I'm a worship leader. God, I'm a deacon in the church. God, I've been a Christian for years, but I'm on my knees and I'm telling you, God, I've been struggling with this and I'm dealing with this, or I need your help. And I believe that Jesus is on His throne, and God is sitting there on His throne. He's saying, now we got something we can work with. See, after we pray, what we should be doing is we should be looking for an opportunity to be a part of the answer. If we really are going to be faithful to God, when I pray, I should say, okay, God, show me how to be the answer. God chose to want to use you in fulfilling His will on earth. Are we faithful with our words? Are we faithful with our words? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says this. Now all glory to God, who is able, through His mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we could even ask or think. You see, when we surrender to God's will, that's when mighty things start happening in your life, Christian. I'm telling you, church, if you really want to see mighty power working through you and working in you to accomplish more than you could ever even think or imagine, it has to start with surrendering to God and surrendering to the power of the Holy Spirit. If I tried to do any of this without God, it would fail. In fact, you know, my prayer was when God was calling me here, when the church was calling me here, it was just like Moses said, and I can't remember, I think it was in Exodus, he says, God, if you're not personally with me, I'm not going. Because I know my flesh is weak. I know I'm an idiot sometimes. I'll mess everything up. God's got to be in it. God's got to be in it. Number three, how will we worship? How about our worship? You see in these couple psalms that we just read, those verses, how many times do we just sing? It doesn't matter whether it's a hymn, is the oldest hymn in the hymn book. It doesn't matter if it's the newest worship song on Christian radio. On Sunday mornings, do we really sing in spirit and truth? Church, I've sang up here in front of you leading worship, and the whole time I'm distracted thinking about, oh God, am I prepared for my sermon while I'm singing words that I'm supposed to be worshiping? So do I worship in spirit and truth? See, I believe that worship is the highest speech there is. It's the highest form of using my vocal cords that there are. Why did God give us the ability to sing? You ever thought about that? Why did God give us the ability? It wasn't to sing about the riverbank and beer and your ex-wife taking your double wide, all right? It wasn't so you could rap about nice cars and selling drugs. That's not what it's for. And that's what most songs you hear on the radio are talking about. God gave you a voice. God gave us the instruments. God gave us ears to hear in the sound waves of music. I'm convinced there are people worshiping all throughout the Bible. Because that's what we were created to do, is to worship our Creator. Psalm 150 says this, verse 6, it says, let everything that breathes sing praises to the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's what we were created for. We are to be faithful with our words. Look with me at verses 109 and 110 with me back in Psalm 119. It says this, My life constantly hangs in the balance. But I will not stop obeying your instructions. I love that. The wicked have set their traps for me, but I will not turn from your commandments. Here's a third area of faithfulness. We're getting there, church. Hang in there with me. And that's a faithful memory. So what do I mean by that? Do we realize, church, how blessed we are? Do you realize this morning? Think about this for a second. Let's just stop for a minute. Do we realize how blessed we are to be a part of the New Testament church? Do we realize how blessed we are to be a part of the post-cross church? We already have the truth of the cross. It's already happened. Do we understand the post-resurrection church, how blessed we are to live on this side of the resurrected Christ? Do we understand how blessed we are to have the entire revelation of God and the Word of God? Do we understand that? I don't know if we do. I don't know if we really understand. Because see, the Old Testament believer like David, he didn't have a pocket Bible with a life application guide in there. When you're struggling with sin, flip to this verse. He didn't have any of that. Right? He didn't have the Air Daily Bread. He didn't have the app on his phone where it would read to him. That's what I've been doing. I've been sitting in my lawn chair just letting the thing read it to me this week. And it dawned on me. They didn't have a smartphone. They didn't have anything. You know what they had? They had a scroll that was locked up behind a curtain. And the high priest kept it under guard. And so the only time they heard the word of God, what little bit they already had recorded on scrolls, was when the priest would read it to them. That's all they had. This meant that people actually had to listen. Are you listening this morning? Are you really listening this morning? Jesus would say that all the time. He said, if you have ears to listen, listen. Are you listening this morning? Because they would have to commit the promises of God. They would have to commit the commandments of God. They would have to commit all that to memory. That's a lost art. I can't remember anything. I can't remember where I laid my cell phone down or my wallet. If I don't have Google or you don't have Siri, we are literally lost. Everywhere I go now, it's take me, even if I know where it is, take me here. And I ain't got to think about anything. Right? You remember the old days? There's some of y'all remember the old days of stopping the car on the wayside and you flip open the map and you say, oh, we took a wrong turn. We got to go back. That's what we're supposed to be doing with the Bible. Before the trip, we're supposed to be mapping it out and saying, God, which direction do I need to go? And when we get lost, we pull out the map and we say, where did we take the wrong turn? Yet another reason that we need to find ourselves studying God's word and committing it to our memory. Our memory. Then when the adversary comes and when all the problems and the adversity comes and the trials come and the evil one comes tempting us or trying to tell us that we're not who God says we are, like we sang about it, the Holy Spirit, what it'll do is it'll bring God's word back up to the surface. It'll bring the promises back there and you say, I delight in your word, God. Oh, man, that's right. I know I'm feeling this way, but get out of here, devil, because God's promises tell me this. The Holy Spirit will bring God's word. He'll bring the light back to the surface of our memory. Listen to what Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 25 and 26. It says, this is Jesus talking. I'm telling you these things now while I'm still with you. But when the Father sends the advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. But again, if we never study what the Lord tells us, how is he going to remind us of something we never knew? We have to get into God's word. We have to individually get into God's word. You can't depend on me to teach it to you. My shoulders are falling apart, right? How am I going to be your spiritual everything that you need for your path of life? I got 30, 40 minutes on a Sunday morning. Somebody said that Anthony goes way longer than they preach. I mean, it might be longer than that. But either way, we each have a responsibility and we have to get into God's word. We have to get into it, and we have to listen and let God work in our life. We have to be faithful with our memory. I would encourage you this week to go read Psalm 136. I love that psalm. It's where it just keeps going back to saying, great is thy faithfulness, or your faithful love endures forever, whatever translation. Because what they were doing is they were thinking about all the different things. You split the Red Sea. You did this. You rescued Israel from this and whatever. And every time they say, great is your faithfulness, or your faithfulness will never end, or your faithful love endures forever. They were remembering the things that God had done in his promises. All right, we're almost done, I promise. We got to be faithful with our memory, church. Let's look at the last verses for today. Verse 1:11 and 1:12. It says this: "Your laws are my treasure. They are my heart's delight. I am determined." We need to be determined. "I am determined to keep your decrees to the very end." Here we see the last, but certainly not the least, areas of our life that we are called and we are expected by God to be faithful. We're called to have a faithful heart. I love how David, he understood the treasure of God's word. He understood how glorious it was and what a blessing it was to have God's commands and have the law of God and have the scriptures that he had at that point in his life. You know what I would talk about, or whether I would look at it? It's like a deep, deep, deep mine carved out in the side of a mountain. Filled with gold, filled with the most precious gold, silver, diamonds, rubies, anything you can imagine, just filled with it. But see, the funny thing about a gold mine, the thing about any other kind of mine, is you got to dig in it. You ever seen a picture of the coal miners, and you ever see pictures? Man, it's not an easy life. They're dirty. They're beat down. They've been working. It has to be explored. You got to get in the Word. The miners work day and night, digging and digging deeper and deeper to find the treasures that they're looking for hidden in that mine. Church, we must be willing to seek God's word as a treasure. His truth, we have to see it as a treasure. His instructions, his promises, his commands, we look at those and we say, that's a treasure. God, that is such a treasure. Thank you for revealing to me something eternal in this just awful world that we live in. And we must dig deep with a wholeheartedly commitment. We say, I'm going to read the word and I'm going to listen. I got a shout out to my brother Danny over here, man. Did y'all ever notice last week he had something in his hand? And maybe it was a nervous twitch. I don't know what it was. If you've never stood in front of a church and shared your testimony or preached or anything else, you don't know the struggle that my brother and that I go through. It's intimidating. But I realized watching at home, sitting in my recliner, in my PJs on last Sunday. I was an online church member last week. And you know what? I recognized it. It was this wholeheartedly committed bracelet that we gave out Father's Day, I think, 2018. And that came from this, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 through 9. It says this: "Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your," what, church? With all your heart. So there's point number 4 in my sermon, right there. All your soul and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them. All right, there's a faithful memory. It sounds like a faithful memory. If you're going to repeat something, you got to remember it. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them. That's faithful words, isn't it? We're kind of going in reverse here. That sounds like faithful words. Talk about it. When you're at home and even when you're on the road. Sounds like faithful feet. When you're on the road, you depend on the word of God. He says, when you're going to bed, when you're getting up, tie them around your hand. That's why we gave them those bracelets in 2018. Need to order some more because they break after a while. He says, wear them on your forehead as a reminder, a faithful memory. And write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Church, just like mining, digging into God's word, being faithful to God. Listen to your pastor today. It's not easy. Did the pastor just say it's not easy? It's not easy. It's not easy. Why is that? It's because when we shine God's light on our path, we don't always like what it exposes. You understand that your pastor, when I'm preaching these sermons, when I'm outlining these sermons, God, what he does is he shines light on where I'm standing. A little clay dish lights up and I look around and I say, ooh, I got to correct this. I got to walk away from this before I can preach it to anybody else. I read a book once and I can't remember even, I'm not going to try to, it's written in my Bible, but it said, a sermon born in the head reaches the head, but a sermon born in the heart reaches the heart. As we close this morning, I want us to think about this. Do we realize that we have the prize? We have the prize that Moses, David, Isaiah, the disciples, all the other prophets, and everyone else in the scriptures that we read about were waiting for. Do you realize that today? We have it. We have the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine what the Old Testament prophets would have been, or what everybody would have done if they would have had the Holy Spirit dwelling in them, if they'd already had the advocate? No, they were waiting for Jesus to come. They were prophesying and say, look, we're going through these struggles, but one day the Messiah is going to come. We have that promise. What are we doing with it? Why would we ever put any boundaries on anything the church does, anything that God calls us to do, when we have the promises that everybody in the scriptures was waiting on? I have the complete revelation of God. I have the Holy Spirit, the advocate. So I believe it's time today, Mother's Day 2023, to make a declaration, getting excited this morning, to declare to God, declare to myself, to say this: I'm going to be faithful. Fork Union Baptist Church, we're going to be faithful. I don't care what the world says, we're sticking to the Word, and we're sticking to the truth. Proverbs 4, verse 20 through 27, I want to end with this. It says this: my child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to the whole body. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Kind of sounds like a path. Avoid all perverse talk. Stay away from corrupt speech. Look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. Mark out a straight path for your feet. Stay on the safe path. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from doing evil. So as a time of invitation, as we sing the last song, I would ask you this. Do you have faithful feet? Be honest with yourself. Let the Holy Spirit convict you this morning. Let Him encourage you, whatever it is. Let him work. Let's just stop for a minute and let it work. Do you have faithful feet? Are you faithful to do what God says to do? And where He says to go and where He says not to go? Do you have faithful words? Maybe it's your prayer. Maybe it's your worship time. Maybe it's just the way that you're speaking to other people. Are you known as being dependable to God and to other people? Do you have a faithful memory? Have you spent time committing God's promises and God's word to your memory? And last but not least, do you have a faithful heart? It all has to start really at the last point. Because if God's got your heart, everything else will just flow from that. I heard Gary Osteen preach on this one time. And he, I think, was quoting a pastor mentor of his, but he says this: every living thing, it lives from its heart. Every living thing lives from its heart. I love the deer hunt, and I love to eat deer meat, and I love the sport of hunting. They teach you to shoot for the heart, because that's where life starts. That's where it ends. When your baby, you first find out, the first thing you see is the heartbeat. Nothing else there but that little heartbeat. Everything living lives from its heart. My question is, where's your heart today? Has Jesus been invited into your heart today? Because if it hasn't, it's as simple as saying, God, Jesus, I've fallen short. I've disobeyed you. I've done this. I've been tangled up in that. Or maybe I've been a good person, but I still don't have any peace. Whatever it is, you just say those words to Him and say, but I'm ready today to receive. I believe, and I want to commit my whole heart to you. All my soul and all my strength. I don't know how it's even possible, but I believe it, and I'm ready to accept it today. Maybe God's calling you to have faithful feet this morning, and to get up out your comfort zone and to come forward and say, I received Jesus today. Or let me tell you what God is doing in my life. Whatever that is, I don't know what it is. Receive it today and come as we sing. I'd be happy to pray with you. Amen? Amen. Amen.
Hello, my name is Anthony Clore, and I'm honored to be the pastor here at Fork Union Baptist Church. I hope you were blessed by the message today, and I want to encourage you with this. God is always willing and always waiting, and always wants to do great things in our lives when we simply read the Bible and hear biblical preaching and teaching. But we must allow what we hear to be applied to our lives. So if you feel God tugging at your heart or speaking to you today, I want to encourage you to stop whatever you're doing right now and respond to Him personally. And if you would like to let us know what God is doing in your life through this podcast ministry, we would be so blessed if you would reach out to us by email at churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. Again, that's churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. You can also try us at our office at 434-842-3390. Again, thank you for listening, and we hope that someday you will join us in person. We meet each Sunday at 11 a.m. Take care, and God bless.